A news flash that many of us are going through tough times. And I know you might come in here having had a rough week. But how I pray that you will find now, both through the time of worship we just had and rejoice with the children, and now as we come to study God's Word together, may His grace, may His love just touch you right where your need is. And I believe He wants to do that, because that's the kind of God that He is. And so we welcome you. We welcome you to Calvary Chapel this morning. We do pray indeed this will be an encouraging, uplifting time for each one of us, and a challenging time if it needs to be. So, towards that end, let's get into our study together. We're embarking upon a new book study today. We're going to begin in the Gospel of Matthew. So turn to Matthew chapter 1. To help you study with us, the ushers have walked down the aisle to hand out Bibles. If you're in need of a Bible, just raise your hand. We count it a privilege to give you one, and if you need to keep it, it's all yours, of course. And let's all go to that first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Go to chapter 1, if you would. While the Bibles are being passed out, just a few other announcements. Last Sunday, I mentioned that my wife, Kathy, was heading off there this week to speak at a women's conference in Dallas, and she was really under the weather. And so for those of you who prayed, as I was talking to her yesterday, the conference wrapped up yesterday, and she's doing really great. The conference went great, and she's on the mend, and she said to make sure and thank all of you who had been lifting her up in prayer for her health and for the conference and all. So that's where she is this morning. She's still over in Dallas visiting with some friends of ours and all. But she wanted to make sure, and I also joined with her in thanking you for praying for her and all as she struggled with her health issues and all. Secondly, in terms of an announcement, is I wanted to mention this to you also, is as Tim just mentioned, we go out every so often and do a barbecue out at the Recruit Depot, the Marine Corps Recruit Depot right downtown there. And they contacted us recently and asked if we'd come again. Fitting time to celebrate the 4th, I think. Go out and serve those who do so much to protect our freedoms. So if you have tomorrow available, please consider signing up and coming along. Bring the kids. We want to do some activities with their kids. And again, what a time to drive home to our kids, just thanking those who've done so much for us. But I say that to introduce this. Tim didn't mention this, but I want to ask something of you men. This is directed specifically to you guys. The chaplain that we work with out there, Lieutenant Steve, he was given some Bibles that the Marines are going to let him give out. He gives these Bibles out to the recruits. Now, he gives these Bibles out at a certain portion in their training. They reach a point when they go embark upon a thing called the Crucible. Any of you have been in the military, you're probably aware of that. It's a really fun vacation time. They really put them through the ringer. And before they head out on that, there's a particular part, I forget what they call it, but they let them have these Bibles during this time. So he has some Bibles he wants to get out. Well, he asked me, he said, Dale, would you guys be willing to personalize these for the men? And I thought it'd be really great if our men would just personalize these for these young men. It's small, it's just a page. And so if men, I really would like to invite you, and I challenge you to just be a blessing. This is a really great next step that they're inviting us to be a part of, and I think we should redeem the opportunity. And I thought it'd be great if you men could write a note to these young men. And if you want to do that, just stay afterwards, 10 or 15 minutes after we wrap up this service. If you men that would be willing to do this, join me again in here. We have like 80 Bibles that he gave us that we could fill out, so the more the better that we'd be willing to do this. And I'll guide you through it. I'll let with some ideas what you could say and all. But I think it'd be so great if we could fill these out and pass it on to the men. And so to these young men. So if any of you guys be willing to do that, just come in here afterwards, a few minutes after wrap up second service. And you don't need to have been in the military to write an encouraging word. So just consider coming out and being a part of this. Oh, and one last thing, by the way. Woofy, I don't want to spoil it for any of the kids, but Woofy's friend, Vern, has been a part of our children's ministry for a long time. He's been such a blessing. Well, he got a job in Arizona. He'll be leaving this week. He'll be leaving us to go to Arizona for his employment. And so we're really going to miss him. If you know Vern, if not, go meet him. If you do, thank him. Make sure you catch him afterward. Thank him for blessing our kids through the many skits and all that he's put on for our children. But he's wrapping that up. And so we thank God for Vern's ministry here. And we encourage you to do the same. Let's get to it. Before we're done with time. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to jump into verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Do not let the familiarity of this portion of Scripture keep us from all God would have for us in this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Put your hand right there for a moment, and turn back to the last page of the Old Testament. For some of you, it might be right there. There might be a dividing page or two between the two. But go to the last page there of the Old Testament, the last chapter of Malachi there. Put your hand right there in that one. So you got your left hand in the end of the Old Testament, right? Put your right hand in the beginning of the New Testament. You got it? Again, there might be a page or two there, but you got them right there? You are holding 400 years. To us, it's so quick. Just turn the page. But 400 years has elapsed since the end of what we call the Old Testament here, the wrapping up the Old Testament, the end of Malachi there, and now the beginning of Matthew. These are sometimes known as the 400 silent years. 400 years have elapsed now. You can go back to Matthew there, but I want you to get a sense of the setting here. But now, after 400 years, as we come to Matthew, the time has come. It's time. Time for a certain one to make his entrance. A certain one to arrive on the scene. Don't get used to it. We've all, many, read this. You can call this Christmas in July, maybe, because we've read this all the time, especially we read it at Christmas. But let's let the how awesome this is hit us once again here. How angels must have watched on in awe. After all this time now, God says, now. And as we come to the book of Matthew, indeed, the time has come. Look at verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I enjoy Family Sunday. I suspect you do too. I love seeing the children come in here and singing with them. It kind of gets us more childlike, as it should be, as we worship also. And today we have the skit, but oftentimes Tim has the kids come down front, and they come down front, and they're so cute doing their verses, and they say something. You just wonder what they're going to say next and everything. It's such a cute time. I really enjoy the kids. But as we think about the children right now, let me ask you this. Directed towards you as parents, or maybe as anybody else who's ever been involved in this process, and this is not to be answered out loud, but just I want us to begin our time by thinking about something. How did you pick your child's name? There could be a lot that goes into picking our children's name sometimes. To name a child can indeed be an interesting adventure. Books are consulted. What does this name mean? What's that name mean? Hey, honey, what do you think of this one? And on and on. We look through books. Sometimes advice is sought. We go to relatives and friends. What's the name you like? What have you heard? What do you think of this name? We write them down. How's his flow with his last name? How's the middle name? What initials are they? What do the initials spell? You go through all those things, trying to make sure that, okay, now am I picking the right name here? Perhaps you consider a family name, a name that's been part of the family for a long time. Or maybe there's good old Junior. We'll just name him after Dad. All those things are considered, but it can be a challenge, can't it, picking a name? Let me throw another question in here. How about your own name? Now, don't answer out loud, but again, did you pick your name? It's funny. Our name is probably the main thing we are known for, but very few of us got to pick it. Now, some of you picked your name. Maybe you legally changed your name to something. You got to pick it. But for most of us, we didn't pick our name, but it's what everybody knows us by. We're stuck with it the rest of our life. Like it or not, there it is. So much about picking a name for a child. Now God is sending his son. God incarnate is going to arrive on the scene. What name should we give him? What name should it be? See, for this one spoken of here, it's not going to be up to Joseph. It's not going to be up to Mary. God has a name he's going to want to make sure gets attached to his son. It's a name chosen before his birth. And it's a name that changes everything. But how can that be? How can a name change things? Because of who it belongs to. I've called our time together this morning, the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the love, the hope, life, mercy, grace that we find in you. And Lord, as we begin this morning through this awesome book of Matthew, Father, as we consider afresh and anew that the King has come, that you sent your Son, as we think about the name you purpose that he be known by, that name that is his mission, that name that is his message, Lord, help us to not just yawn at this. Forbid it, Lord, that we take this as same old, same old. Help us to get beyond the familiarity of the text and, Lord, drive home to us again who it is that's laying there. What this baby who will grow to be a man, who is God incarnate, what you're saying in the very name. And then, Lord, help us be those who you find is keeping that name precious and dear. So, Lord, in this time now, have your way, we ask. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Matthew is placed here. It was given by God, but most agree that those who compiled our Bible put it here because it indeed is a perfect connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You maybe see that the book of Matthew begins with a whole lot of names. We're not going to read them this morning, but just because we're not reading them doesn't mean they're not important. For they are the statement of a genealogy. Very important, of course, important for the Jews, important for us to know. See, it opens with this genealogy of Jesus, and this one here in Matthew is Jesus' genealogy through Joseph. It demonstrates Jesus' legal right to reign on the throne of David. Later on in Luke chapter 3, we have the genealogy, the line of Jesus through Mary, which is, if you will, his biological line. It's his bloodline, if you will, showing that he's a descendant of David through his mother, Mary. So these names are important. And there's a whole lot of names here, aren't they? And it helps us set the stage for the fact that a name is coming that is above all others. Now, the main theme of Matthew is that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. In Jesus, it is declared the King has come. The King has arrived. And Matthew will be driving that home to them and us. Excuse me. Matthew will quote or allude to the Old Testament more than any other gospel. We're going to see that he'll often use phrases like that it might be fulfilled or what was spoken. He will often refer to prophecies from the Old Testament and show us that Jesus is their fulfillment. All this is crucial because it's awesome to know that only one could fulfill all these things. And that's what Matthew, the Lord through Matthew, wants us to understand. Only one can and only one has fulfilled those prophecies. Now look again, if you will, at verse 18. We read it before, but let's look at it again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, meaning God the Son made his entrance into this world like this. Fanfare in a big castle? No. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned, it has been 400 years since God has spoken. But now God says, now is the time. And a young couple in a little town called Nazareth receives news. news that challenges them and stretches them. They're about to be used in unique ways as the Messiah is born into his creation. And then verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What is in the name? Think of all the reasons people pick names. Maybe it's a hope for that child or something about the family or just like the sound of it. But what is in this name? It's been picked by God. You shall call him a certain name. And it'll be so important. You shall call his name Jesus. The name Jesus comes down to us through the Greek. It's the Greek form of the name Joshua. Joshua itself is a kind of contraction that means basically Jehovah is salvation. So if you were walking around on the day when Jesus walked this earth, you'd not be hearing them call out to him, "Hey, Jesus!" That's how it comes down to us through the Greek. But it's Joshua, Yeshua, is what you would have heard. But it means Jehovah is salvation. And so we learn why this name is given by the explanation of the text. Why is he given this name? The name that Jehovah is salvation? For he will save his people from their sins. Verse 21 is why Jesus came. And this has to be settled for everything else in Scripture to make sense. For everything else now as we embark upon our study of Matthew. For everything else to make sense, we must understand verse 21. Understand why this is so important. We must settle the issue of why he has that name. It's going to be what sets our compass. It's going to be through this we'll understand what he does, why he does what he does and all. So it's important we get this set. We must know the purpose of his coming, his mission. And it is indeed found in verse 21. In verse 21, basically we have heaven's mission statement of why Jesus came. Jesus did not come as an example of a great teacher. He did not come simply as another prophet. He did not come as anything less than verse 21 declares. Perhaps you work for an employer, a company that's large enough, they have felt the need to come up with a mission statement for your company. Or perhaps you've been in the military, you serve somewhere like in a hospital or something, and you have had driven home to you that, hey, this is our mission statement. Now, sometimes for smaller companies, it's not maybe overtly written, but it's still understood. This is our service. This is what we offer. This is what we're about. This is what everything is aimed towards. And so it becomes the grid through which everything else is filtered. Well, here you have God's mission statement for Jesus. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, am I saying it enough? Never say that Jesus came primarily as a good moral teacher. That he came to give us some good sayings to live by. Never say that, well, he was another one of the prophets coming to declare what God would have. Never say that he's an example of how to live a good life. Never say that he's a miracle worker. Never say anything like that. Don't you ever say that. Never lessen his mission. For he has declared he came with one goal, to save the lost. And he will do that by what he does on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection that's up ahead at this point, but is now established for us. Now, many people do redefine Jesus, who he is, why he came. But you don't get to do that. Take him at his word. Reject him if you're going to. You certainly would hope you don't. I hope you don't. But don't just try to redefine him, but many do. Let's make him so he's not confrontive. Let's make it so he's just a nice guy or an example or something. And so you see all the cults redefine him. You see people redefine him. People say, well, I think Jesus is like this. Now, in love, I'd say, who gives you that right? He said this is why he came, for you. And in the end, you don't want to lessen that. You don't want to water that down. But we have to have this settled. May we never be found as those who would water down or lessen Jesus and his mission. Because that is the case. His very name is his mission. And what is it? To save his people. Jesus himself says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, if he's come to save us, what does that imply? We are lost. We need saving. Good news. He came for that purpose. Thank God he didn't just come to like give us some nice fun sayings. He came to save us. You and me. See, all of us have this need. We need a Savior. Don't get used to his cure. Don't get used to the remedy that he has brought you to know. All of us are sinners. I still remember years ago, I was teaching at another church and where I was at before I came here, but I was sharing that. I made that statement, all of us are sinners. Well, a lady came up to me afterwards, and she let me know she was not happy about that. What are you saying about me? And I'm going, I didn't make it. I didn't start with me. I'm just passing on the message. We're all sinners. So don't hear this offensively. It's just the reality. You, me, we've all fallen short of God's glory. He is God. We're not. And something has to be done about our spiritual condition, our sinful state, if we're going to spend eternity with him. How will that be dealt with? By the one who is on this mission that's being pointed to. There is none righteous. No, not one. All of us need saving. And Jesus is that one. He. See, the emphasis there is on the he. For he will save his people from their sins. He and only he is this one who is Jesus. Jehovah, our salvation. Don't get used to it. What does the name of Jesus mean to you this morning? Do you hold it in high regard? Do you reverence? Do you worship the one who has that name? Do you understand all that's wrapped up in that name? Now see, we can't argue with God's declaration of our condition. But the good news, he didn't leave it there by just declaring our lost condition, but he sent the remedy. Again, not to be answered out loud, but are you a sinner? Well, so am I. Good news, Jesus came to save us. You can get excited here anywhere. There's no more mess. It doesn't get any better. What does Spurgeon say? Others might declare the gospel better, but no one can declare a better gospel. And I feel that same way. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And there's two aspects of that, really, for this morning at least. He came to save us from the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. So he came to save us from the penalty of sin, thank God. But not only that, for everybody who's received Christ as Savior, then he saves us from the power of sin. He saves us from the penalty of our sin, and then he saves us from the power of it. What do I mean by that? Paul writes about it really well, of course, in Romans, when he shows us how when you receive Christ, the power of sin is broken. You no longer have to sin. See, before, sin was in the driver's seat. We didn't know any different. We just went with the flesh, went with self, went with this world. We just did it. But then when Christ comes in, he breaks the power. It's not automatic anymore. So the Lord saves us from the penalty of sin, and then he saves us from the power of sin. Jesus saves us from our sins. What's in the name? In Jesus' case, everything is right there. Because it is his mission and it's our cure. It points to how we are saved. Praise the name of Jesus. What do you think of the name of Jesus? What does it mean to you? Now, in verse 22, it says, behold, excuse me, verse 22, so all this was done. All this was done. Why? So we'd have a really nice example of a good person. No, So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, look, he says, the virgin shall be with child, wonder of wonders, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Wait a minute, they just said call him Jesus. Jesus will be his name, Emmanuel. What this means here is that's what will be said about him. And what does Emmanuel mean? What will be said about him? That in Jesus we have God with us. Not a feeling, a fact. In the midst of all you're going through right now, in the midst of sometimes just feeling like there's no hope, feeling lonely in the crowd, health issues, whatever it is, don't lose sight of this. I pray the Lord refresh you with it again this morning. If you've invited Christ inside, guess who took up residence? God with us. Now again, if that doesn't stun you, then get back. Amen. Get back and let that hit us again. God, me, yeah, yep. You came in here, yep. You, yep. Wow. Lord, how can you begin to take that in? But I want to. I want to know it more and more. I want to soak in that. But what good stuff that is. There is only one in whom it can be said that with him we have God with us. Colossians 2:9. For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, it declares. Verse 22 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. God set it up and God fulfilled it. Now, this verse 23 is from Isaiah 7. It's a prophecy. Then in verse 21, basically it points to the one who's the fulfillment of the prophecy. That's the point. That in this one we have God with us. And that very title verifies the incarnation. That in Jesus, it is God with us. Don't lessen him. Don't look at and don't let anybody else lessen who Jesus is. And who that name points to. When we invite Jesus in, we have God with us. Now verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Good. He did what he was told. What are we going to name him? I already know. God told me he will be called Jesus. Oh, the preciousness of the name of Jesus. Is it precious to you? How precious is his name? Now, there's no doubt about it. Are you sad like I am when you see his name used in other ways? It's sad sometimes when people use. Have you seen those trucks driving around? I like those trucks that are driving around. They have on the side where it says, Jesus Christ is Lord, not a swear word. And I go, amen. Because his name is bantered around and used in so many blasphemous ways, and it grieves us and saddens us. But let's be found as those who exalt his name and use it as precious as it is and declare it as it is. And it grieves us and saddens us. But let's be found because they have on the side, understand this all that it is. See, the world doesn't know. The world doesn't understand what's in that name. God with us. Call Jesus because he's there. His name is his mission because Jehovah offers us salvation. Think of all that's in that name. Oh, how we should always lift it high. What's in this name of Jesus? Well, first of all, salvation, Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God set this up, not man. God said there's only one name. Now in that, by calling on his name, you're calling on the one who has that name. You're calling on the one who died for your sins, the one who went to the cross, paid the price. That's the one where it is found. And that's what he's letting us know. That when you do call upon him, you will be no other name, but in that name, we are saved. So it's the name of salvation. What's in this name of Jesus? It's the name by which we are commissioned. We are set forth. It's what we're to be about every day. Luke 24:47 is an example. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's our marching orders. It's our call. It's our privilege. It's our commission to declare the name of Jesus because his name is his mission. He came to save the lost. came to save you and me, came to save sinners. That's our commission. It's our privilege to declare. And of course, what's in this name? It's the name that everyone will one day bow to. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Given him the name that's above every name, above, because of who it's about, who it's pointing to, what's in that name. It's God's mission. It's God's calling. That's what's in it. And so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Bow now. Don't wait till that. There'll be some who wait too long. And the day will come, they'll stand there and say, whoa, he is Lord. He is God. I should have received him when I had the chance. But the day will come, everyone will recognize it is all through him and about him. Do it now so that day comes, you'll be rejoicing and exalting him. Because every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, all that's in the name of Jesus. Is his name precious to you? When you wake up this morning, let his name be on your lips. Throughout the day, let his name and who he is, who the name belongs to, his mission, his calling, what we found in him, all that's wrapped up in him, let it be on our hearts. What does the name of Jesus mean to you? You know, I think of all those songs over the years that have been written about. Remember the old, there's an old Calvary worship about, there's just something about that name. There's a song we sing like that. Jesus, I won't sing it. I don't want to punish you. But and it goes, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. And so there's just something about that name. And since the day he saved me, it just always been something so precious about his word, about him, and about his name. Guard it. Keep it precious because everything's pointed to right there, wrapped up right there. It would be spoken of him that he is Emmanuel. That's the descriptive title. That he will be, that in him we have God with us. And Matthew's going to be declaring now that the king has come. And so we're going to embark upon that study now, Lord willing, the book of Matthew. But this will be our filter, our grid, our understanding as he shares these things. Understand who it is saying it, who it is doing this thing we'll be studying. That's our compass setting, so to speak. That's what we're going to align ourselves on. That the main thing is, he's Jesus. Because he saves us from our sins. The king has come. The Messiah is here. And his name is Jesus. Remember, his name is his mission. His name points to him. Religion doesn't save us. Good works don't save us. Only Jesus saves us. Only he was sent to save his people from their sins. So what's in a name? When it's the name of the one who died to save us. When it's the name of the one, the only one, who can satisfy all these prophecies. What's in a name? Everything. Keep it precious. Declare it. Rest in who he is. Rest in Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap us up. As they do, just a few concluding comments. Have you called on the one named Jesus? The Jesus of the Bible, not what somebody else has made up, not some redefinition of him, but the clear declaration of the one who came to die for our sins. Have you received, called on the one named Jesus? You need to. But good news, you can. Because that's why he came. If you haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior, as we wrap it up, go to the prayer room. Let the prayer partners know, I want to make that step. I see now that by his very name, he's declaring both my need and his answer, and I want to receive it. Go to the prayer room and get it settled today. It's why he came. It's why he has this name. Believer, what's in the name? For us, everything's wrapped up in it. So, in the case of Jesus, everything's there. Celebrate Jesus. Keep it holy and special and rejoice and just recognize what we found when Jesus came to us. May we be found just recognizing and celebrating that Jesus is our everything. Father, thank you. So much here. Just kind of scratched the surface today. Lord, to the degree that we've been able to look at it, we say thank you. Help us now to explore the depth of the one who you sent. Help us come to understand what it means, that name of Jesus, who that is, all we have found there. And may we found those who are indeed exalting, lifting high, bowing before the name of Jesus. Help us to declare that message that's wrapped up in the name of Jesus. Help us just celebrate this one that it's all about. And truly, may it all be to your glory always. In Jesus' name, amen.